Hello, welcome to When the Kids Go Down. I am still trying to wake up. Tried recording this last or at night, and I just was not alive enough. Ironically, I'm more alive without coffee in the morning than I am at night with like nothing, because I'm just like ready. At any moment, I can pass out. So forgive me, because I know I'm still sounding a little groggy, but we're working through it. So I had so much time this weekend to record. It was 4th of July weekend, and which means that my husband had like a big, everyone had like a 3 or 4 day weekend. So he had a 4 day weekend, and we spent the whole weekend together. I thought I'd have like plenty of time to record, and I had like a whole different idea for, I have an episode that I'm like planning. I which I plan episodes. I'm just like, I had a specific one planned for this week, and then we just hung out the entire week. Like, we were together nonstop, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really jam-packed weekend. We did a lot of things, and we crashed every night. It felt like so tired because I don't know. I guess we just never have like this much on, what was I gonna say, time where we don't have to like really unschedule time with our kids. Like, we just have them, and so we just kind of did whatever we wanted and they wanted, and it was a lot of fun. So I didn't record. Listen, let's jump right in to start talking about what we're talking about because I think it'll help me get my mind going. So first off, I'm going to do a weekly report, and then I'm going to get into where I'm at, my mid-year review or my book check-in, because last week I did a vision board check-in. So like somewhat it was more like impromptu, and so now I'm doing a book check-in, but I'm going to do a weekly report first. So we're going to start with our reading. I finished shit, Hidden Pictures by Jason, I don't know his last name, let me look at it. It's Jason Rakulik is what I'm getting from what Google said to pronounce it as. It says Hidden Pictures is for the fans of Stranger Things and Riley Sager. I've never read a Riley Sager. I've heard a lot of like mixed things, and I just never read Riley Sager. So I don't know. It's just the thing with thrillers is people tend to get really pissed off at the end when the plot twist isn't what they expected. Like, it's let and not that it's not what they expected, but it's more of a letdown. I bought this book on July 4th. That's what we did. We didn't like celebrate 4th of July. We went to go eat together as family, and then we went to Barnes and Noble, and we also went somewhere else. I don't. Someone asked us what we did because we went out to breakfast the next day, and they were like, "What'd you do yesterday?" And we couldn't think of anything that we did, and then we remembered that we bought books because we were just talking about the books that we bought, and then the waitress asked she's my friend too, but she asked what we did the day before, and we were like, shit, what did we do? And we were just talking about the books we bought. So I don't understand like what happened to our brains at that point. I don't know. So anyway, that's what we did. And then I went into Barnes and Noble specifically looking for a summer horror, like summer campy vibe. Not necessarily like summer camp, but like something, I wanted like a horror summer book. Horror is such a hard word. I just said it perfectly that time. Anyway, the Hidden Pictures does have a foreword. Is that what they're called? Forewords from Grady Hendrix. And it says a perfect thriller complete with vengeful spirits, class warfare, and it has pictures. What more could you want? I love Grady Hendrix for mentioning that, but it's so heavy. I was just like holding. I mean, it's pretty heavy. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm saying it's heavy because I picked the third book down. If you know, like you go to the store for a book and you don't grab the first one. So I grabbed the third one down after inspection. Let me add that after inspection. And immediately in the car, I noticed that the spine, I didn't inspect it well enough, has a crack down the middle of it, not like horizontally, not vertically. So it has this, which is, it's small, but it does have a horizontal crack down it. So I was like, okay, well, that shouldn't be an issue. But because these pages are like thicker paper, and I guess that's because of thumb needing to have all these like charcoal drawings in the middle, it's pretty thick and heavy. So I mentioned that because I also have A Flicker in the Dark in front of me by Stacey Willingham, and it's about 20 pages less than the one than Hidden Pictures, but it's much lighter, and the pages, it's a very floppy book, and the pages are pretty thin. So yeah, I don't know. I'm mentioning that because like I think that has to do with part of why Hidden Pictures cover is like coming off. Like it's like there it starts at the bottom and it creases up to almost where the crack is. And I think that's because of the crack. And as I'm turning, I keep saying crack, as I'm turning it, and I see that there was also like an indention or a line from crack to bottom of the corner of the page. And so I don't know what happened to it. It looks like it was full. It looks like it was dog-eared from the bottom on the cover. And I inspected to make sure that it was good. And I walked out with it in my hand. Like I didn't like put it in a bag. I didn't put it in my bag. I walked out with it with the receipt and my book in my hand. So somewhere between checking covers and walking out, I guess it really is a haunted book or something. So anyway, it's just funny how like I chose the third one and it was like I'm sure that the other books are way more pristine than this one. But I loved it. And it was a great book. I mean, it's a really good book. If you're going to listen to it though, like that it does come with like a PDF download and you can look at the pictures. I don't know if you need to start listening to it on like Spotify to see the pictures, but you can see the pictures on Spotify too. I did read this one and I really enjoyed it. Oh, so it's let me get into the summary of it. So I think she's 21. 21-year-old Mallory Quinn is just out of rehab, and she takes a job as a nanny for a well-endowed couple for their 5-year-old son named Teddy. And Teddy's really sweet and a little peculiar because he has these like drawings that he does, which are mostly like cute things that he's like seeing and doing, like playing or like bunnies or you know, he draws a picture of him and Mallory when he meets her. And then they get more sinister. And then as the story progresses, not only are they more sinister, but they are more, what do you call it? Shit. Sophisticated. They're really well drawn, like artist level, professional artist drawn. So from this 5-year-old boy, and they're all in like these charcoal pens or whatever. So the story like unravels, and you know, Mallory is basically like gaslit by because there's a story to be told. And oh, and so also this is like a very important part. Teddy has an imaginary friend named Anya, and you know, she's kind of the one telling Teddy what to draw. And so Mallory thinks that this is like there's something up, and the parents are just kind of like gaslight her the entire time. So it's up to Mallory to figure out like the story and what's going on and help Teddy and get things unraveled. And you know, because she is out of rehab, she's gaslit quite a bit. But she's also like a runner, so there's lots of like every day she goes on this run. And then it's so funny because I bought it, like I said, on the 4th of July. And she starts off, or rather, we start the book off in late June. And then she has like the 4th of July weekend. And it was like literally the 4th of July weekend when I was reading the book. And I finished it in 2 days. So, well, I finished it in two, like, not in two sittings, you know? Okay, so not in 2 days, but two sittings. I would have finished it in one sitting, but I have children and, you know, I spend time with them. But my point being is that it was like exactly what I was looking for at the exact right time. So it just hit in the writing. So yesterday I picked up A Flicker in the Dark and I was like, I guess like maybe, because I was like, I'm going to keep on, bless or not bless you. You good? I was going to keep on with this like thriller kick that I'm on. Like I'm like maybe let's just like I like the, you know, I like the spooky summer. So let's go and read some like more thriller summary, whatever. And I like looked at my shelf and I had A Flicker in the Dark. And I've been like, I don't know if it's the title that's like always in my mind. And I'm like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. I've seen that before. And I remember like that I had it on my shelf because I will buy another book that I already have because I forget that I have it. So I was like, maybe I'll just pick this one up. It's like shopping on my bookshelf. And I was like, I'll just pick this one up and start reading it. I was like, re I was I haven't even finished the first, like the first page is like, like two paragraphs. And I don't know, it was just like, I was like, okay. And I put it down. Like, if, I don't know if any of this is making sense, but like I read the first two sentences and I was like, cool. I'm gonna like do something else right now. But with Hidden Pictures, I was immediately in and I could not put it down. And it's just, and I was like thinking about that today. And so I started to look at the first like paragraph of both of them. And Hidden Pictures starts you off with scenery. Like it starts describing the scene to you. And A Flicker in the Dark just starts describing like emotion and feeling. And I think that's what it is. Because I've noticed that like my favorite books immediately throw you into your surroundings. And when I can't like get with a book, it's there's I feel like there's too many descriptors. Like I said with something about that other book about the house with the bones or something, and it was like immediately just like describing a fucking bird. And I was like, I can't with the descriptors. Like I get it. Like I just want to know. I don't know. I don't think that it's like necessary to go, which is so funny because like I feel like that's the way I talk is very descriptive, but I just want to know. I just want to know why. So I like being immediately just thrown into the story. I like just knowing where I'm at and like what to picture, and then you can go ahead and tell me like what we're doing here. However, A Flicker in the Dark does have a foreword from Karin Slaughter, and I love a Karin Slaughter. So I guess we will give it a chance. I don't know. I don't think it takes. I wonder like at what time it takes place because I really do want to keep on the like the summer aspect of it all. I have a new mic, and not only is it picking up my voice very clear, it's also picking up the background noise very clear. Anyway, that was my R reading. I'm also still reading Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. I just like, I don't know why I haven't finished it. There's a lot of STEM talk in it, which is awesome because I feel like she really did her research. I don't know shit about Allie Hazelwood, so she could have been STEM herself, I don't know. But it's really it's good. I'm just like I'm busy and I'm like I don't know. I don't know. I like the references where we're gonna read it. We're gonna finish it. Okay. It was just kind of like I just miss my girl Emily Henry. She's just my favorite and I'm stuck on her. So, and I'm done. I'm done with all her books, which is sad. Okay. Eating. What have I been eating? Basically everything. We have our my wallet needs to take a break. We have like been going out for brunch like this whole weekend, which is nice because we had a whole like we and just like I didn't have to worry so much about like what we were gonna eat because it's stressful like when it's all of us at home for like a week straight because all of our meals have to come from somewhere. And I'm usually the one who cooks. So, which is, I love cooking. Like, I love cooking. Mika always helps me out. He loves it too. But it's just, it's a lot. It's like a lot to think about. And so I'm so thankful that we went out. But damn, like, I need to let that bitch breathe for a little bit. But it was, I don't even know. Like, we went out, I ate a lot of pizza. And then I felt like super bloated, and I'm like, why the fuck am I feeling so bloated? But I don't really like, I don't know. I feel like I don't really, I work out quite often. Like, I walk quite often as well. So I've always been able to, like, just intuitively eat. Well, not always, but, that's where we're at now. And it's been that way for a few years. And I've been a pretty good intuitive eater. And, like, even if I, like, have a few days where I'm eating more junk or like, quote unquote, like junk food. I'm also like in between eating a lot of protein and a lot of healthier foods and whole foods and foods from home. So when we go out and eat, it's really only like one meal. And if it's like two meals, then it's only for like a day. And then the next day, I'm like, I can't do this. 'Cause it just like, there was one day where, I'm sorry, there was like a, I think this weekend, there's 2 days where it was breakfast. We had breakfast or brunch out, and then we had dinner out, and the next day we had breakfast out again. And I was like, I need to make something. Like, I have to make dinner, because it's like, you know, I don't know what it, like, I guess you just, I don't know what it is. Like, we could go eat healthier places, but it's just like, I just need to come back and like have a meal from home. So we've just been eating out. I don't even know. The pizza that I've been eating isn't like particularly greasy. It's like brick oven, and I don't know, it's just like not, it's, you know what I mean, like it's not like a very greasy pizza. And what I do is I typically like don't do meat, because it just like, I don't know, I don't really like meat on pizza unless it's sausage or like the hamburger type. But then not everywhere that says sausage is going to be the hamburger type. It's like, and sometimes it's too much, or sometimes it's like too salty, and so I just like prefer not to do meat if I'm out. But the other day, when we went to brunch, I knew I was going to get pizza, so I got pizza. But we got there early enough to where it was kind of like still morning, and I hadn't had coffee yet because we were like decided to go there kind of last minute, and so I didn't go out and get coffee, and I didn't make any, because it wouldn't have made sense to like get ready, make coffee here, and then go sit down to eat. You know, it just like would have taken up time from like getting everyone ready. Not that I have to get everyone ready. I just mean like, you know, we get our household like ready to go out. And so it's a lot when you have two children. I almost said two children's. And, you know, I don't know. I wanted to like, if we were going to go, we typically like when we go out to brunch, we come home immediately so that the little one can like take a nap. But not too much pressure on it. So if he's like in a really good mood, or if we slept in a little bit later, like, you know, we go with the flow. But more than most times, most of the time, we just like come home and he takes a nap. And so it just didn't make sense. So anyway, we get there and I had coffee and then I had pizza, and I really wanted like another coffee. But it just like would have been, the pizza kit didn't come out like it just would not have been good. And then we had like chips and guac for an appetizer, and I was like, this is weird as fuck. So didn't hit. And I woke up pretty early, and what I feel like I should have done is just had coffee first thing in the morning as soon as I woke up, like 6 a.m. Is any of this entertaining? Probably not. Is it relatable? Yes, because that's apparently what I do best. I've been playing Bad Bunny and a playlist on Spotify called Yearning for Real Yearners. I always look for like a romantic and kind of somber sounding playlist. And so I've been into that one lately. Tara Brach. It's TARABRACH, her meditations. They're a little older, like on tape. So I don't know if they're on tape. It just sounds like they are. So I've been trying to, I don't know how, I don't really do super well with a guided meditation. Unless it's like at night and I don't know, and I'm doing like a body scan in bed, or I'm doing like an affirmation one, but I do better just like on my own. And, but sometimes I do look like for, I look for a more guided meditation. And she has this meditation called RAIN. And it's an acronym. It's like releasing and, hold on, let's look at it. Recognize, allow, investigate, nurture. So like we're getting to the root of the issue here. And I don't know why I keep saying release, but I mean, it's the whole point of meditation is to release tension. So that's, I heard about her specific RAIN meditation on a different podcast, and I just, you know, I was trying to like look into it and see how it works. And also, like, if you're gonna look it up, make sure that you type her name in as well, because RAIN meditation is gonna bring up a bunch of RAIN sounds to meditate to, which is chill, but also like not what I was talking about. So that's what I've been playing. We're on obsessing. Basically summer camp vibes is what I've been obsessing over. I've also been obsessing over getting back in the pool. We need to fill our pool. And then I have to go and buy like it's like 10,000 gallons. It's not like very big, but I have to go buy a pool opening kit, which is just like everything I need to like start the pool, and then I'll just like get chlorine tabs. Again, is this entertaining? I don't know. So I'm just gonna get chlorine tabs to put them in and then make the pool function or whatever. But I've been like putting it off. We've been putting a lot of things off just because like when you have small children in your house, they take up all your time and mental capacity. So it's been we just haven't gotten to filling the pool back up. But the book I was reading, Hidden Pictures, they have a pool and they're in the pool every day. And I would love to do that, but like with two kids, it's a lot harder than with 1 5-year-old. And now that my little or my oldest is 4, I'm like, man, it would be so easy. But I love my little munchkin. So, and I will continue to, I just, it, of course, one child is easier, but like, I love my children. And yeah. So I've been obsessing with getting back in the pool, and we have been like doing a lot of like summer outdoor activities with water, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm having a really good summer. I love summer. What is next? Our poor Rhea recommending. What am I going to recommend to you? First of all, Hidden Pictures. There's your first recommendation. Second recommendation, or I mean, I've kind of been talking about this the whole time. So what else am I going to recommend? Glasses. Not like. I mean, it sucks if you have to wear like real glasses and you don't like wearing contacts. But if you're looking for some glasses, I have these glasses that are like these huge, green, chunkier framed glasses. And I wear them like religiously. I got them from Amazon. And I have like, I think I have my Amazon linked on my Linktree. But I have those glasses linked under accessories. I'm pretty sure if that link is still up. They're just my favorite. And they're blue light, but I've worn them for so long and like every day, and I throw them in and out of my bag, and they haven't broken, and they haven't like they a little bit of a bend because I sat on them. But that just like you can just fix that and it's fine. But they're my favorite glasses. They're blue light, and I can like they're effective. Sometimes you'll find like some blue light glasses, especially if you're like staring at a screen all day. It like really helps with like tension headaches, but you'll find some, and they don't really work that well because they're cheaper. Or if they're like typically, like when you do get some from Amazon, they're just not that great. And these are that great. So I don't know what they're called, but they're just like if you just like look up like chunky green blue light glasses, I'm pretty sure they'll pop up like immediately. Those are my favorite. And I also just like anytime I'm shopping anywhere, like H&M or whatever. I'll look for, or even like Urban, I'll look for blue light blocking glasses, and they typically have like super cute frames. I got some from Urban that are like they're really thin. What am I? Bayonetta. They're Bayonetta styled, and they just are too close to my face. Like they're a little too, I don't know, like you can't really see through them. I guess they're more for like aesthetic purposes, but they're not very functional. So not the best. And there was like zero reviews on them. There hardly are any reviews, like because I feel like they, when you buy them from a like fashion place, it's just like the most fashionable at that time frame is what they're gonna have, and they just like they don't really have like signature frames or anything, you know? I'm sure somewhere like Warby Parker is gonna have like really cool ones, but I need a prescription. I know I need a prescription. When I take videos of myself for like outfits or whatever, I can never see myself. And I don't know if that's normal, but like I feel like I'm not even in, I just see like a blurry figure. And my, it's like, I don't know, like front facing camera, I don't see myself in it. And I don't know how normal that is. And so sometimes I feel like that reflects in the video. Like I feel like I'm just like, I don't know. You can't really tell like what I'm doing. So I just need to like act like it's the back facing camera because I will tell, like I can tell that I'm trying to look at myself and I can't see myself. I don't know if that's normal. I don't know if I'm supposed to see myself or if that like little lens is, or that my little screen is just like, I don't understand. Anyway, maybe I need a prescription. Also, like I'm nursing, so I don't know if, I know that like that kind of like messes up your vision. And I don't know if I have to quit nursing or like when I stop nursing, who knows? I probably need a prescription though, but I'm not going to get one yet. But when I do, I'm going to get some blue light locking glasses, blue light blocking glasses, and it's going to be sick. I truly never know what to say under recommending because I feel like there's nothing that anyone really needs except for like going outside and getting plenty of protein and water and like duh, you know, like that's like the easiest thing to say. And if I were to say that every week, that'd be, or not every week, but every time I do one of these, it'd be kind of boring. So I think we're on to tea now. I hope I didn't miss any letters. Treating, obviously treating myself to going out to fucking eat like every day. Besides that, I feel like I am a dessert after meal person, and I haven't been lately. Like I just haven't been getting anything sweet. But I have on the weekend had like some Sauvignon Blanc, and I bought one recently that just like was not good. It did not hit, and so I just like didn't drink it that much. And so I didn't really like treat myself besides like our brunch and like book date that we did. And besides that, there wasn't much treating going on. I don't know. But the thing is, I feel like I've been treating my mind better. Like I've been really good at like not having negative thought patterns and taking time to myself that I needed and just like being so kind on myself. And you guys know that every time like my house is a little messy, I have to talk about it because it's bothering me and I have to like get it off my chest. And I've just been like putting things back where they go and not making it such a big deal and not making everything so overwhelming and like not looking at a mess as like a character flaw. It's just like the time in my life that I'm in right now. And it's funny because I say that every time. Every time that I'm like, oh, okay, it's not you. It's just like this phase that you're in of life, which is funny because like I feel like I did the same thing when I was a teenager and I would have like a messy floor. I'd be like, oh, I'm a teenager. Like it doesn't count. And now I'm like, oh, I have children. It doesn't count. But like it's truly not that messy. It's just like I have to talk about it. I have to get it done. Or I have to like acknowledge that it's there. And then it bothers me. And then I have to do, you know what I mean? And so now I've just been really good at telling myself that like it's just, it'll get done in like an hour. Like if I can like do it in an hour, it's done in an hour. And with that, I've also been like, it's not a big deal to just put things back. And it doesn't have to like stress you out because you know that it's already just going to become a mess. You know, it's like this self-sabotaging pattern. And so I just like put things, it's so simple. I just put it back where it belongs when I'm done with it or in the trash instead of on the counter if it's a wrapper or something, whatever. And I've just been like really good at not forcing myself to do that and just saying like, oh, this is what you do. And treating my mental space like a lot nicer. So that's my treating. That's the report. So now into the episode. Now that I've talked for like 28 minutes about everything else, I'm going to talk about my mid-year book raft and where we're at. So I had, let's see where we're at. Let me open. Okay. So far I've read, I don't know, because my Goodreads says 39 and my Fable says 40. So I guess we'll figure it out as we go. I don't know if it's counting like a book that I'm midway through or something. I have read mostly romance. So I've read 18 books of romance, 10 literary fiction, 9 fantasy, 8 thriller, and 7 that are classified as just fiction. I have an average rating of 4.3 stars because I've been reading nothing but bangers. I've read 6 Emily Henry books, 3 Brynn Weaver books, 3 Jane Austen books, 3 Rebecca Yarros books, 3 Suzanne Collins, 2 Frederick Backman, 2 Grady Hendrix, 2 Leigh Bardugo, 2 Martha Wells, 2 Nevessa Allens, and 2 Sally Rooneys. In the month of January, technically, I read 5 books. I finished 5 books. Technically, I think I read 4. I don't know if that's why. Also, Goodreads is saying 39. Who knows? We'll see. So I started off with The Ashes and The Star-Cursed King by Carissa Broadbent. I was going to say Broadman, Broadbent. Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. Mockingjay by Susan Collins, which is a reread. Normal People by Sally Rooney. And Animal Farm by George Orwell. So I, this is a really good lineup. So it's hard to pick a favorite. I'm out of breath, sorry. I just chased down a little baby. So it's hard to pick like favorite to least favorite. I would say probably my favorite. No, let's start with the least favorite. The Ashes and The Star-Cursed King. because the other ones were just so good. This is a good book. Okay, it's a good series. It was the second installment. I don't know if it's, I don't know. I have to like look back into that. Good series. And it feels like so long ago because again, I started it in December. But I would say that my favorite one would be, shit. You know what? These are all really good. It's because the Hunger Games series is like my favorite series. And so this is a reread. Pride and Prejudice is obviously like such a good classic. Animal Farm is a must read. And Normal People was just like one of my God tiers. So I'm going to say Normal People is my favorite read from the month of January. I did give it 4 stars. I gave Animal Farm and Mockingjay 5 stars, and probably Pride and Prejudice as well. I gave it a 5 star, and yet Normal People is a 4 star read. Well, 4.5, maybe 5. I keep going back and forth on this, but 4 stars because the ending upset me. But I still love this book. And you know what's funny? It's like one of these weekly reports that I did back in probably January when I had just finished it, or maybe in February, I started watching the Normal People series starring Daisy Edgar Jones and Paul Mescal, but I never finished it because I was crying too much and I was like emotional. I don't have no idea. I don't even think I had like started. Maybe I did. Maybe that was why. I don't know. I feel like I got my period back postpartum around that time, and maybe that was it. Or maybe it's just like hormones were like all over the fucking place. But I feel like that was part of it. And I never finished it. And I was like, I don't know. So I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish it. And we'll see if I get my heart broken, which I probably will, all over again. Okay, so for the month of February, I think this was a really big month. Let's see. I read 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, maybe not. I read 4 books for the month of February. So Lights Out by Nevessa Allen, Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen, A Man Called Uva by Frederick Backman, and Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. I believe that's all that I read in February. And then the rest were March reads. Okay, so out of those 4, I would say that my least favorite was Lights Out by Nevessa Allen. We know how I feel about this because I just finished Caught Up. So just a little lacking, but it was funny. It was good. It was, you know, nice, but not my favorite. My favorite out of those 4 for the month, close, number 2 would probably be like a runner-up, A Man Called Uva. And my first would be Sense of Sensibility by Jane Austen. I still think about this book. I think about this book all the time. And that's going to be my first one for the month of February. So for the month of March, I read Iron Flame. Oh, I read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 books. 6 books, I believe. Let's see. For the month of March, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 books. Hold on. Okay, so technically 5 books. I think I started one more than that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So we have Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros, First Time Caller by B.K. Borison. I keep saying her last name wrong. So Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires by Grady Hendrix, and Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. So my least favorite out of this month, I've been reading some real bangers this year. My least favorite is probably going to be Butcher and Blackbird. Maybe. It's going to be that one. Just because I don't know about, like, just because of how I don't know how I feel about dark romance, I guess. Maybe that's why. You know, yeah, let's just say that. It's hard to pick a favorite because I loved First Time Caller. Although I will say that the like ending was, again, just kind of like fell a little short. I'm going to say Ninth House was my favorite. I still think about this one, especially if I'm reading like a thriller or something with really good characters. I always reference back to Ninth House because the characters in Ninth House were so good. So for the month of May, is that what we're in now? May. Yeah, for the month of May, that was a book month. I read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 books in the month of May. April. Sorry, I don't know why I just kept saying May. April. For the month of April, I read 8 books. So I read, and again, I'm just going to do it in order. I don't know why. Okay. So, funny story, and I believe that this one was one that I started in January, March. I don't know why I'm going through the months like that. Like, I keep forgetting. Funny story by Emily Henry. Did I say funny people again? Okay, sorry. Funny story by Emily Henry. The Maze Runner by James Dashner. Happy Place by Emily Henry. Hellbent by Leigh Bardugo. Leather and Lark by Brynn Weaver. Scythe and Sparrow by Brynn Weaver. The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath, and How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. So I did already rank these out on Instagram. My least favorite for the month of, this is April, is Leather and Lark by Brynn Weaver. Again, just, I don't know, probably not my cup of tea. My runner-up to my favorite, okay, and this has changed. So it used to be, this is what is on my Instagram as my runner-up, which maybe I'll do an update. Maybe I'll go in and change this, or maybe I'll just make a video or something about it. My runner-up was How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix. I thought about it for days. It did make me cry, but that's not very hard to do. And out of all of these, I publicly posted that my favorite was A Funny Story by Emily Henry. I thought about it for days after. And I continue to think about it to this day, but I've had more time to think about it. And my absolute favorite for the month of April and one of my God tiers is going to be Happy Place. And my favorite from Emily Henry is Happy Place. So Happy Place is my favorite. Probably it's going to be one of my favorites for the year. So out of all of these, and I loved Hellbent, but it's going to be Happy Place. I don't know. And I've never read romance up until this year. Not any contemporary romance. And I think I said like traditional romance in the last episode. I meant contemporary. So Happy Place, favorite, least favorite was Leather and Lark. Okay, so now we're on to April, January. Why do I have to fucking do this for every May? May, I also read a lot of books. We have one, two, three, four, five, six, nine books? Hold on. And I don't have a post. I haven't posted since then. So let's see. I read A Great Big Beautiful Life by Emily Henry, which came out in May. I read False Witness by Karen Slaughter. Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt. The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which I continue to get the title of wrong till this day, by Susan Collins. Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. All Systems Red by Martha Wells. People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry, Sunrise on the Reapening by Susan Collins, and Everything is Tuberculosis, the history and persistence of our deadliest infection by John Green. This is going to be an incredibly hard month to rank. So my least favorite. Shoot. Okay, I already got it. My least favorite. I'm all shoot. No, I got this. Is Onyx Storm by Rebecca Yarros. It was good. It was good, but not, or maybe no, it's gonna be, yeah, it's gonna be Onyx Storm. So good, not my favorite. And I read so many good books. I honestly don't even feel like it's fair to rank any Susan Collins in here because like she's my favorite. This is my favorite series. So like I really don't feel like it's fair to ha have those in here because they're always going to be like my top favorites. But Everything is Tuberculosis is also really, really good. Remarkably Bright Creatures made me cry. Karen Slaughter, she messes me up. She really, I don't know, I'm trying not to curse now. She really fucks me up. Okay, I got it. I'm going to say that my favorite is going to be Sunrise on the Reapening with a very close, maybe a tie of Everything is Tuberculosis and Remarkably Bright Creatures. And for the month of June, okay, yeah, for the month of June, because I don't know how to, my months apparently, I read three, six books. I read six books, starting with Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney, Out on a Limb by Hannah Bowman Young, Beach Read by Emily Henry, Artificial Condition by Martha Wells, My Friends by Frederick Backman, and Caught Up by Nevessa Allen. So I already know what my least favorite is going to be, which is Caught Up by Nevessa Allen. It's still a good book. Still recommend. Enjoyed the series, or am enjoying the series. Will read the next book. But again, maybe it's just not my cup of tea. But I do really enjoy, I enjoy this author too as a person. Yeah, we're good. We're good. She's good. Okay. My favorite. This is hard. This is really hard because My Friends by Frederick Backman is in this category. And so is Beach Read. And so is Out on a Limb. And so is Beautiful World, Where Are You? I added Beautiful World, Where Are You? To my God tier list. My deserted island, my house is burning down, I'm grabbing a book list. So I guess, I don't know. I'm going to say Beautiful World, Where Are You? By Sally Rooney is my favorite. I don't know why I'm suddenly, oh no, I did say my least favorite. I thought I was switching it up. But it's a tie between that and My Friends by Frederick Backman. And then if I was going to rank Beach Read and Out on a Limb, I would have to say Beach Read, because Out on a Limb took me a while to really fall in love with it. And I'm immediately obsessed with the second I get into an Emily Henry. So also like Artificial Condition, it's a really good book, but it's just like so out of left field from all of these because it's a science fiction. And most of these are romance. So it's a mix of romance and literary fiction. Fiction. So Beautiful World. And then we have My Friends. And then we have... And this is from like famous. Okay, let's start from least favorite. Caught Up, and then Artificial Condition, and then Out on a Limb, and then Beach Read, and then My Friends, and then Beautiful World, Where Are You? That's good. I think we're good. And so far, I've read two books in the month of July. Book Lovers by Emily Henry. Oh, I didn't mention that, did I? No. And then Hidden Pictures by Jason Rekulak. So I would say out of those two so far, I think Book Lovers is going to be my favorite out of those two. And that's where we're at. Book Lovers made me laugh so much. I don't even think I talked about it because I think I finished it again over the weekend. Made me laugh hysterically. These are the funniest characters in a romance novel that I've read so far. And I mean, Mr. Darcy is pretty funny, but like in a different way. But these two characters had me laughing so hard. Like everything they said was so funny. So Book Lovers, I don't know. I think I give it a 4. No, did I give it a 4-star or a 5-star? Let's check it out. I gave it a 4-star. All right. So based on all of what I just said, I'm going to add it up and see if it was 39 or 40. It's 40. It's 40 books. So we're halfway through. I got beef with you, Goodreads. Why are you saying it's 39? And you're the one who I'm like counting all my books on. So we've read. Maybe it's because of the having started Ash or whatever in December. Maybe that's why. So it's saying I need 2 books to get back on track, but we're halfway through and I'm already like halfway through 2 other books. So we'll get it done. Okay, 40 books so far. Technically 39, I guess, if you want to count the other one. If you don't want to count the other one, the very first one. But I'm gonna count it because I read like half of it. So we're 40 books in for the year, halfway through the year, halfway through the book challenge that I have set for myself with my husband's help because he's the one who picked the number. Don't really have anything else on my TBR right now. I am looking for, I'm going to see what's being released right now. And then I'm looking for more summer campy thrillers. All right, go read Hidden Pictures and we'll see you back next week. All right, bye.